Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. I want to get back to our Matthew verse-by-verse audio study. We had left off at Matthew 21. We're going to go 11 to 17 verses, 11 to verse 17. You can go to DontPerish.com, look on the verse-by-verse tab, and you can catch up with our study. Let's get right to Matthew 21, verse 11. And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." So, Jesus and his ministry, remember, this is talking about when he's riding into the city. The people were crying, "Hosanna." It's causing quite a stir in the whole town. They're remembering who he is, the prophet of Nazareth. And this is going to cause great, great issues, persecution, and ultimately the murder of Jesus in the future. As he's being lifted up and adored as king, he's going to rub the religious hypocrites the wrong way. We're going to see that as we go through Matthew. Verse 12, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all of them out that bought sold in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." All right, so this is a really key verse here. We see Jesus getting angry over those that were selling and apparently making money off of the father, his father's back. Jesus, we need to recognize this. Jesus also did this in John chapter 2. So this seems to be a pattern of him being upset about this. Now, what are the reasons that he is upset? What's the specific reasons why he did this? Well, we can't know for sure. We really can't. No one knows dogmatically for sure. But some things just to ponder about this event. Number one, he said, "We are freely to give and not sell." Matthew 10, verse 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you should give." So I know it's not a direct reference to not selling, but Jesus and Paul and Peter, none of them sold anything. All right, so when we see people today, especially today in the modern churchianity, selling books, albums, records, music, conferences, definitely is money-taking. But back then, not quite sure why Jesus was upset with them, but we have some ideas, some other points we'll go over. But ministry is definitely not about money. Otherwise, it becomes sinful. Number two, the men were taking advantage of the saints of God for mammon. Now, some people have said that they believe men were taking advantage of people. So in Deuteronomy 14, 24, 25, God allowed the people that traveled a long distance to come and worship, God allowed them to buy animals. They couldn't carry and bring an animal all that way. So God allowed that they would buy animals once they get to the temple area to do their sacrifice. Some people have said in history that these money changers were ripping people off. Instead of just providing an animal at a fair price, they were making money off of them. Kind of like when there's a tornado and then hotels triple the amount of their rent for that day. That type of thing, money taking. So that could have been people maybe, that made Jesus mad. They were taking advantage of people. And God will read in a bit, God always wanted fair balance, justice, right? Number three, some say that since the temple is holy, surely it is holy, it wasn't for business and money making, and they were selling things too close to the house of God. Now, when it talks about my house is a house of prayer, that comes from Isaiah 56, verse 7. So that could have been another possibility. They were too close to the temple area. Again, no one knows for sure. We know this, we are the temple of God today. 1 Corinthians 3:16. So if we were to extort money or take advantage of the people of God, well then we're doing the same thing, right? Because now we're the temple of God. So you got to think about that. As you see these modern churches making money off people, selling everything, making profit, making gain, making mammon. Yeah, they're still doing it off the temple, aren't they? They are. Number four, Jesus displays righteous anger here, not sinful anger. There is a difference. Have you thought of this? Yeah. So sinful anger would be that which is of the flesh, right? And you're letting yourself be driven by the flesh. That's never a good thing. Can't please God in the flesh, Romans 8. Whereas righteous anger would be spiritual driven. And you can clearly be righteously angry about things. Paul says in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So righteous anger is of the spirit. Sinful anger is of the flesh. I can promise you Jesus was not of the fleshly anger. This was a righteous anger he had about what was happening with the money changers near the temple. And you, saints, don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't be zealous or have righteous anger over truth and sin going on. Don't ever let anyone tell you you can't be that way. That's a sign that you have zeal, right? Titus 2, be zealous for good works. I kind of have a saying, if you never get mad over false teaching, lies and false teachers, you don't love the truth. Because we're supposed to love what God loves, hate what God hates. Psalm 119:104 says, God hates every false way, right? Keep that in mind. Just some of the reasons why Jesus could have been upset about this. And again, I like to lay this over when I preach at worldly Christian music concerts. I like to preach that they're selling the things of God. They're money takers. Yeah, I've gone so far as to tell their multimillionaire musicians that they're music whores. Because a woman sells her body for money, that would be a whore. It's all over the Bible, whore and harlot, over 100 times. It's not a bad word. It's a biblical word. I call them music whores because they're selling the so-called music of God to become rich. Yeah, some people have really gotten on me about that, but I stand by it. And I think that Jesus had righteous anger over that. I have righteous anger over them making merchandise over my Father as they spew their lies and emotional false ways. Something all to be considered. Verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. All right, so I already said that the house of prayer comes from Isaiah 56:7. Here, where he says this den of thieves, this is from Jeremiah 7:11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Okay, so in context, this gives us a little clue. This was about hypocritical people that did a lot of sin, murder, idolatry, all kinds of stuff. Then they ran to the temple and tried to hide behind the temple to make themselves look good. I don't know. Is that a clue as to why Jesus was mad at these men? Maybe these men were criminals, sinful, wicked men. Then maybe they've come and blended themselves into the temple to make themselves look holy. Hey, reminds me of modern pastors. A lot of them are worldly, corrupt, carnal, fleshly, sinful, heretical, and they blend themselves into so-called religious bodies as pastors, elders, leaders, deacons. Yeah, we see that all the time, don't we? What an interesting correlation there. So that could be a clue. Jeremiah 7:11. Jesus knew, as God himself, the focus should be on the Father and spiritual things, not on money or profit or dark ways. The thief statement, as I said, could have something to do with these men, not as much as just selling the animals, which was allowed by God for sacrifice, but they may have been hypocrites, they may have been soaking the people, they may have been too close to the temple. I'm just kind of recapping here. We can't know for sure. All I know is that all of these things give us a few clues, and we talked about the fairness. You know, if they were taking advantage of those people, you know, you're a weary traveler traveling a long distance and you have to buy an animal for sacrifice and there's only certain animals available and only certain vendors and they're jacking the prices way up. Yeah, God would hate that. Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All weights of the bag are his work. So God always honored fairness and justice, and these men might have had all these issues, and that's why Jesus had righteous anger. So again, don't be afraid of righteous anger. It stirs up the zeal in you, stirs up your desire and your love for the truth, your defense of the truth. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. We can't do that if we don't stand against evil and don't get angry righteously about sin, false ways, and the corruption of God's word. Amen? Amen. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So here we see another godly display of Jesus putting on his power, and it's causing a stir as it always did, right? This is going to add to his issues. And we're going to see Jesus doesn't back away from this. He actually ratchets it up a notch. Watch this, verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were sore displeased. All right, remember from the previous study in Matthew 21? Hosanna, it's a cry of, it means, oh, save. It's an adoration to God. All right, so they're adoring Christ, talking about salvation. And I've said this before, Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, and it means salvation. Hosanna means, oh, save. Isn't that beautiful? And son of David, well, that's his lineage, right? He comes through the line of David. And the Pharisees are hearing this, and they're about to prove their hatred of Christ, their plot, no doubt, to kill him. We know that happens. And remember, this is so true. When I was preaching at the last music, false Christian music concert, so many people told me, "You don't know my heart." Well, they're wrong, because I can see their heart by their fruit. What does Jesus say about a man's heart? Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Yeah, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak, Jesus said. Your fruit is going to be seen. If you talk like a sailor, you got a heart issue, not a lip issue. If you steal money, you don't have a hand issue, you got a heart issue. If you look with lust and commit adultery and blasphemy and idolatry, you don't have issues of the outside. It's all a matter of the heart. The Pharisees had a bad heart. And in the future studies, we're going to see how wicked they are. Verse 16, and he said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. All right, so the Pharisees come and they ask him a question. And they're saying, "Hey, you hear what they're saying?" This is kind of like another trap. They're trying to trap and challenge him. I love this. Jesus comments about all the adoration he's getting from these children and people. And he asks, "Haven't they read?" Well, he was referencing Psalm 8, verse 2. Ready? "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might still the enemy and the avenger." All right, so if you go and read that chapter or that verse, what Christ is saying is that God brings praise for himself out of children, or to himself for himself out of children. And think about this. Christ is drawing that scripture to himself when the people say, when the Pharisees say, "Look what these children are doing." Christ says, "Hey, God brings praise to himself from children." Who are the children praising here? Jesus. Do you see what Jesus just did with the Pharisees? Jesus says, God brings praise from children to himself. The children were praising Jesus. And Jesus is clearly saying he's equal with God. Think about that. He's the Messiah, and he's equal with God because these children are praising him and adoring him. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't correct them. That is a shot right across the faces of the Pharisees. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to back down to what you guys are all about. I'm going to stand and proclaim the truth, and these children are praising God. And the Pharisees won't have it. They can't stand for it. And we're going to see what's going to become of all that. More evidence that Jesus Christ is Messiah. Jesus Christ is God. More evidence. Here he uses that verse that God brings praise from children to bring himself on equal plane with the Father. This eventually will drive the Pharisees to hatred and to murder. And that's what they're all about in their hearts. We're going to read about that as we keep going. So Jesus is boldly proclaiming he's the Messiah. He's receiving the adoration. He's using scripture to back it up. He's making himself equal with God. All of this is coming to a culmination. He told the disciples he had to go. He had to be persecuted. He would be beaten. He would be killed. But he'd rise again. The glorious story of the gospel. We're going to encounter it coming up in the days ahead. I hope that blessed you. We're going to stop it right there. We'll pick up next time, verse 18 out of Matthew chapter 1, 21. I hope that you're enjoying this study. I'm enjoying doing it. I had a long road trip. I didn't have any internet connection the last 2 days. I'm glad to be back in the Word, edifying, discipling, answering questions. God blesses us so much with saints all over the world that we know and are united to, and He blesses us with the Word to encourage each other, edify each other, sharpen each other with like a steel sword, a double-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. Keep sharpening your sword, saints. Seekers, if you're listening, you keep seeking and repent and obey the gospel. I'm here to help you. Check out don'tperish.com. Hey, till next time, we love every one of you, and we love God and His Word. Go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.